Okay. Trevor, ready? Okay. So, 2 weeks ago, dealt with different models of Psak. Last week, we dealt with the different roles of having Rebbeim or Poskim. Mikan Ve'ilach, we're moving straight into the issues, and we're going to start dealing with the halachic issues in a much more direct fashion, okay? So, this week, we're going to deal with Mar D'Asra, the authority of Mar D'Asra, and more importantly, who is Mar D'Asra B'Zaman Hazeh, which is a very complicated question, because the social structure that we have is completely different than that of Chazal. So, just a little bit of Chazara, one source from last week, just to ease us in, right? So, this Sforno, it said, Asi l'charav, istalik min asafik. Said, Abba bishamru, harotel asik divri beishamai osik divri beishel osik. Even though the Gemara says that at least before the Baskal, or at least until the halacha was defined in accordance with the Beishelel, you could do like either one. You should have a Rebbe. You should follow his position. And with this, you will remove yourself from the doubt of dispute. So that you won't be inconsistent and you will Paskin, like this person sometimes, like that person sometimes, Sha'al, Kamoza, Amruzal, Allah, Hakasiv, Omer, Vaxil, Vaxil, Bechoshe, Cholech. Sorry that I misspelled that. Okay. Right, so we saw last week, right, one of the value of having a Rab, of a Posek, is that there are a lot of positions around, and it's good to have a Posek. Now, note here, when we talk about a Posek, we talk about Kedivre Beisel, Kedivre Beishamai Ose. We have not yet talked about who that posek would be, right? In fact, there's no indication here that it would be defined by anything but who you pick, right? And that is sort of all the indication you get in the Mishnah. But, anyway, he's referencing this Gemara over here, which we saw last week. We'll skip it. I don't know why. We don't need to repeat it. Okay. But classically in the Gemara, your posek was your Mora D'Asra, which means, what is a Mar D'Asra? Translate the Aramaic for me.
The teacher of your land.
Of the land.
Town rabbi.
Master of the land.
Close. I mean, what is a Mara?
A teacher, right?
Well, actually, no. A master. A master, right?
Master.
By the way, so it is Rav, right? Rav also means master, right? There's, right? Because Rav is not just teacher. The Mar D'Asra, or the Rav, is not just the teacher. He is an authority. And that's why we call it, right? So Mar D'Asra is the authority of the place. So, there's a very important Gemara in Shabbos Daf Kof Lamed. So the Gemara there discusses Rav Elazar Omer. In locally, we're discussing here how you do a bris milah on Shabbos, okay? So Rav Elazar Omer, in lo hevi kli mer Shabbos, let's say you forgot to bring the knife, or whatever else you need to do a bris milah on Shabbos, you forgot to bring it before Shabbos, so what do you do? Mevio b'Shabbos megula. You bring it on Shabbos, uvisakana mechaseyu al piedim, and in sakana, so you cover it, fine. With edim, so they know what you're doing, fine. V'od amar v'lazar. V'lazar also said, the kartim edim las l'chamen lasos barazel. And he said you could also cut wood if you needed to make charcoal, or you needed to sterilize metal, you need to make metal, whatever the case may be. Meaning you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos, even for what we call Machshirei Mila, right? The things that you need in order to do the mitzvah. We know that Bris Mila is Doche Shabbos, that no one argues on, but Rabbi Elazar thinks that even, Rabbi Elazar rather, thinks that even the Machshirei Shabbos, Machshirei Mila are Doche Shabbos. Klal Omer Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva says, Kol Malacha She'efshar La'asos Me'ev Shabbos, Eina Doche Shabbos She'efshar La'asos Me'ev Shabbos, Doche Shabbos. But Rabbi Kiva says this is not the case. Anything which you could have done before Shabbos is not Doche Shabbos. Fine. So now we have here a machlokas about what's the status of this halacha, right? If you are wrong in this halacha, what is the gravity of this sin?
Skila,
right? This is chiyuv skila, right? Death penalty, capital punishment, fine. And yet, the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, bimkomo shir Rabbi Eliezer, in Rabbi Eliezer's place, they used to act according to his psak, and they used to cut wood if they needed to make charcoal to make metal on Shabbos. In the place of Riosia, Glili Haya Ochlin Basar Of Bechalav, he used to paskin that there is no iser of eating chicken, poultry with milk. And in his place, in Riosia Glili's place, that was how they acted. Levi Ikleve Yosef Rishba, Krivula Resha Tavza Bechalba Lo Achal. And once Levi went there and he didn't eat it, Kiyasa Lekamele Rebbe Amarle Amailo Tishma Tinhu. He said, why didn't you put him in Cherem, Amarlei? Asir Rebbe Yehuda ben Beseira Ave. It was Rebbe Yehuda ben Beseira's place. Vamina Dilma Darash Vilka Riosi HaGlili. Okay, Dithan Rizik Lili Omer, Nemer Lothokhol Kol Anivav, Nemer Lothokhol Vashol Gdi Bechalai Vimo. Esha Asir Mishum Nevela, Asir Levashol Bechalav, Ov Sha Asir Mishum Nevela, Yachol Yasir Levashol Bechalav, Tam Lomer Bechalai Vimo, Yasir Ov Sha Ein Lo Chelev Ein. Okay, and now it brings the background for his position that there's no Isser of eating poultry with milk. Okay, the Gemara doesn't just seem to accept the fact that people have different psakim, but it seems to celebrate it, right? Even though they're arguing that it's their skila, and if in fact your Eliezer is incorrect, and you follow his position, you would be chayav misa, b'shogeg you'd be chayav chatas, omer mutar you'd be chayav chatas, doesn't matter. We say that in the place of Eliezer, they paskin like him. In the place of Riosi Aglili, they paskin like him. And the Gemara seems to downright celebrate the fact that people actually paskin like their Mara de Asra. And as we saw before, right, what emerges from the Svarno is like, because Halacha recognizes, and we mentioned this already 2 weeks ago, that it's not just that accepting authority limits your autonomy at a certain level, it frees you, right? You have the right to follow your posik. Now, the problem here is, yes, you have the right to follow your posik, and here it is freeing in that sense, and the Gemara is willing to celebrate the fact that there's machlokas and people are actually acting on the psak of their poskim, but classically, Marda Asra is defined by where you live, which means that you don't have that much autonomy. You don't have that much choice in the decision. Right? So yes, it's true that having a posik frees you up, because now you have the right to paskin bein l'kula bein l'chomra, the right and responsibility to paskin bein l'kula bein l'chomra, like your posik. You don't really have the right to make a decision of who your posik is, or so it would seem. If you look for a moment at the Ritva says, Perish arrived al delachi maisi hacha yuv delachah eschar shnos in kadosh baruch hu al kiyum lav delotaser. He says, where does this authority come from to follow your posek that gives you the right to follow bein lekula bein lechomra? So we discussed this in passing last week. He claims that even listening to your posek stems directly from the pasuk of lotaser, right, which is traditionally applied or classically applied in the psukim too. Sanhedrin Agadal Yosef Yerushalayim, he says, no, it even applies to your personal posik. The Chavan, the Relazar, Ra'i Lahora'aya, since Relazar was a posik, he was qualified to paskin, Kol's man shelo nifsika halacha, and he qualifies it. As long as it was lo nifsika halacha, right, there is a limit to this. Right, local authorities only have the right to paskin until a position has been rejected, which we dealt with a lot last year, what it would mean for a position to be rejected. I don't know whether we'll get back to it this year. If we decide we're going through that we can't understand what we're doing without returning to that topic, then we'll do that. But for the moment, if something is not considered wholly rejected from the halachic system, he is allowed to paskin like it. Rashayin lazus kidibrei atzman kidiyisim perakam diavamos umukamo hayosin kimosan kimoso lekayim lo tasser min adavar sheyagidul chayim yusmal afir shomer lo chal yamin shuusmal bekivu aschar alzeh. And not only that, but not only was it mutter, but they actually got schar for being mekil, for listening to their posek. That was the best thing they could have done. The kol shgem sharmil drabanan shemekayimon notel schar. Okay, but like I said, bisman hazeh, right? The world looks very different. There's a good reason why in the time of the Gemara, your primary posek was your Mara de Asra, was the local posek, which was?
There wasn't such a case.
Good, right? Who else were you going to turn to? Now, to the point where, you know, just to give you an example, this wasn't just true in the time of Chazal. It was always true throughout the generations that when local rabbis had shilas, they would write to bigger rabbis. This always happened, right? We have evidence of this in the time of the Gonim, all the way down to modern times. But to give you an idea of how complicated it was, or there's a tshuva in the Chasam Sofer which starts with a long apology. Hussam Sober says, I got your Shaila, but I wasn't sure whether I should answer it. Because I see that because the post office, because the postal service is so bad, you wrote this Shaila and said that it was time sensitive 6 months ago. It only got to me now, and I know it's going to take me another 6 months to get back to you. Right? So I don't even know what the point is. Right? But right, it was very difficult. Right? What choice did you have? It could be that the local rabbi understood he wasn't an expert. So, okay, he's going to turn to the Chassam Sofer. That's very nice. But how is he going to get it to the Chassam Sofer? How is he going to find out? But that all changed with the advent of the phone, of what?
Telegrams.
Telegrams, right? Then the telephone, then the cell phone, and email, and smartphones, and WhatsApps, and Twitters, and should SMS and Facebook and whatever, right? The world suddenly became very small. And it's actually really easy for me to ask a Shaila from anyone. In fact, there have been times where I take advantage of the fact that the world is a big place which can be made small. And if I have a Shaila at 3 in the morning for whatever reason, right? No problem, I call up a Posek in America, right? I'm not sure of a Kashrus Shaila, so I'm not going to call Rosh Schreiber or a Bednarsh, who I normally call if I have a basic Yardei Shaila, or if I'm not sure at 3 o'clock in the morning. But okay, but Ora, will, you know, learned Yardei with Rabbi Gedalia Berger. He's living in New York. Right, in New York, it's 8 o'clock at night. Perfectly good time. Right, the world is very small. Right, it works to your advantage. It's wonderful. Okay, so how are we mitiaches to that? So this is not a modern Shaila. I mean, it is, but not entirely. Because the first person to be mitaches to the question of is a Murad Asra, quote unquote, only someone who is literally the Murad Asra, your local Bozig or not, was the Rashba. Thank you. How did you guess?
Lucky.
Very lucky. Okay, this is a very, very important Shuvah Rashba. And for those of you who were here last year and paid any attention when Rabbi Yitzchak Yosef spoke, you'll know that this is very important because he quoted it several times. I see all of you remember. Well, he did quote this Shuvah. What?
I remember that Rav Shlomo was not a fan.
That's not true. Rav Shlomo critiqued Rav Ovadia. Very different. right? So the Shuvah Harazma says as follows. So he says, Umashem Amarta. Wait, what are we doing about something which is a machlok that poskim? So the Gemara says that sometimes never kedayu ploni at mekal is mochalav. Oh, never came into Rabba Fasi va Rambam dal shavu choldal achadzu ladivim koman yeshnu din menachiv hu she yismoch aleihem bein kolam bein chumrein elon is mocha poskim asher lakel. So he has the following question. Sometimes the Gemara says roi hu leex lismochalav. So he said, well, what's the case if some rabbi says something's mutter, and the Rif and the Rambam say it's usser? Can I paskin like Rabbi X, Rabbi Ploni, or do I have to paskin like the Rif and the Rambam? Okay? So he says like this. Tshuva. Tchilat kol davar lamisa. First things first. Omen. She'ein omrim kedayu ploni lismach alav bizman she'ish gal minim v'chach mo v'minyan. The entire rule, you are allowed to rely on X, does not apply if he's not that big of a rabbi, right? If the question is, Roi who, lit, rabbi of the young Israel of blah, 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 versus Ramosha Feinstein, right? It is not a, right? There is no conflict, right? The halacha psuki, the olchanachar gadol b'chach v'minyan. We follow the gadol, period. V'afil b'shasat chak, yushasat chak, ein somchen al katam b'chach mon v'minyan, v'chein b'makom machlokes, yachad v'rabim. Same with Yachav Rabim, Elam came Shasat Chach. In general, we pass him like Rabim, but here Shasat Chach, Sheyef lo Heftim Merubo, Kayotze Bezeb. We also came to this Tshuva several times last year. We dealt with Heftit and Shasat Chach. Ukomo Shamru Parakama Denida, Vaser Rebbe Kiri Lazar, Lachar Shaniskar, Amr Kedayi Ri Lazar, Lismach la Shasat Chach, Vachin Mai Lachar Shaniskar. And we saw there that it said that we can rely on Ri Lazar B'Shasat Chach, and where it says, what did they remember, right, that they said, oh, we can rely on B'Shasat Chach, Ilem Lachar Shaniskar, Deina Lachar Kiri Lazar, if they remembered that the Halacha is not like him, Elakir Abanan, B'Shasat Chach, Ahechi Avid Kavasei, then how could you pass him like a B'Shasat Chach? Ella, the lo itmar, lo hilchaza kimar, below hilchaza kimar. It's a case where the psak is not final, right? Where, and we mentioned this before, and again, I'm not going to get into this, right? You can listen to the shir online. If everybody decides that we need to have that shir again, we can, of what it means for a psak to be closed, but not for now. And then he said, what is Shazat Chak? Yigdamri Shaz Baturas Havei. It was a time of famine. Yigdamri Avij Uvda V'chashar Ban Lepsei the Taros. And we come welcome. Yikarit V'arim Elu Sh'amar Tashgish Ben Chilukin. But there are distinctions. She'ein Kola Poskim V'chachamim Shavim. Because not all Poskim are the same. V'lo Kol Makom V'shavim Min Adin. And not everywhere is the same. Kitzad Shur Az Adin. Im Shnaim HaPoskim V'achad Zeh Ozer V'zeh Matir. Im Noda Echad Godol B'chachma V'inyan V'yatsa Shmokhein Holchen Acharav Ben Lachma V'lachel. Said, for example, what do you do when one person says it's Asher and one says it's Mutter? Well, if one is the bigger posek, you follow him. Hayushneim Shavin, if they're equal, v'lon no dami gadol mishneim, and if you don't know who's greater, bishal Torah hochan achar machmir davle kisfeke dal reisa. So then, by a dal reisa, you are machmir. Bishal Torah hochan achar meichel gis reish perakam devodu zar dav zayin. Umisha shomechal meikel bishal Torah over, and if that case you would follow the meikel, you would be violating. V'zem eusen shemar umikel yagid lo aval. So now he says the normal rules are: if someone's a bigger posek, you follow him. If they're equal and it's a suffik, the araisa chumra, the rabbanan kula aval. Im hayu rav echad bimkomam, but if there was a local rav. And he taught them, then you follow his position. And then he gives an example from the Gemara where there is a machlokas between Eretz Yisrael and Babel, but a certain type of fat, where even if you are in Eretz Yisrael, or Babel, you're allowed to follow your own position if you plan on going back. You just have to do it in private. V'hine b'mkomo shiri lazer korzen eitim lasu b'cham lasos izme v'lo michu b'yadam chacham l'v'yishahein osin g'divrei Rambam. So he points out that the notion of Mardasa overrides other rules. It sometimes, at least, will override the rule of you have to paskin like the greater posek. That's not always true. Because sometimes by dint of the fact that someone is your posek, that gives him more authority. And it might even be Yachid v'Rabin. With Perikol Abbas Armin Levi Iklu Levi Yosef Rishba. Okay, we read this already, right? Now skip to the next bolded three lines down. Just right, I bolded what is not new. What's new? Now he says, and this is the step that's important for us. Bezman Hazeh. Umin Haderech Hazeh. This notion of Mor Dasra is what is the basis for Kol Shenagu Lasos Kol Maaseim Al Pi Echad Migdolei Aposki Memakom Shenagu Lasos Kol Maaseim Al Pi. Al pi halachos, harilchos harav alfasi zechon alvracha uvim kol moshenagul lasis kol maaseim al pi chibur harambam zal. Varei asu eila gedolim ki rabam. This is the basis for the notion that people follow the Rif or the Rambam. Now, right, this is a big jump because Mor Dasra was classically based on locale, and what's he saying? You have the choice of not doing that, but basing yourself on. What?
Another known.
Whatever. You're identifying yourself with a posek. I don't know. Lining yourself up with him ideologically. But you have the choice to choose somebody not based on locale. Umiyu. Yesh. Sham echad chacham raila rabba ra raya lazer. Mashim inu nogabo. Isser shayin neil krabba. Mamba ish bimkoma rabba. Yazuk with rabbi akilu b'machavad rabba bimkoma. But he notes that this, at least this model, if not the other model also, is not quite as expansive, right? It doesn't mean you have to follow the Rambam literally every single time. If a community generally follows the Rambam, but somebody decides, right, the posek decides that in this case we will paskin against the Rambam, that's legitimate, right? But you're pachod or yoter allowed to pick an ideological model and follow it. Yes, there can be minor changes. You're not actually bound to every little thing the Rambam said if you happen to be Taimani. And that's not the case. But Pachod or Yoter is legitimate to ideologically pick a quote-unquote Mor Dasra. Right? Kitarba Itri de Bertrol, Rezot, Komenogen, Min Boheter, Kirabam, Nomen, Kolchelev, da da da. Fine. And we'll skip to the rest where he just brings the other rules. Right? So the first person to really know that Psak is not actually limited by space is the Rajba, where he notes that there are already people who took on as Mor Dasra, so to speak, a figure, a person, as opposed to the person who happens to be in charge of the place. Okay? Here, we'll run very quickly to the next few sources, just to show you that this notion, right, while people think it's a very modern notion, right, that I pick my posig based on who I ideologically line up with, right, the Rashba already notes that at some level this existed when people started accepting this from the Rambam. The next few sources will show you how it exists for the Shulchan Aruch and the Rama, right, which is really the modern, you know, the slightly more modern equivalent, though we'll get to modern times in a minute. So that's the next, like, 5-6 sources, right? Here, just for example, right? Chaim Bad, Simon Kufchet. It can't be. Now, I will know. Sorry. I didn't just put all the people who said Shulchan Aruch. I take that back. I did. Now, this notion of an ideological Mardasra, though, is again, both, as we've seen many times, as we've seen in everything I do, is both freeing and limiting. Right? On the one hand, it gives you more of an opportunity to choose, right? I'm not limited to say that my posek is the person who happens to be the rabbi of my local shul. But on the other hand, let's say your group of communities chose an ideological Mardasra. So, if you really, really believe in this notion of an ideological Mardasra, then what is it going to do? Curtail your ability to go against it. Right? Meaning cuts both ways. Right? The second you recognize the ability of defining Mardasra not in local terms, so on the one hand, that gives you freedom to pick somebody ideologically. On the other hand, if your community writ large chooses somebody, right, one person can't then choose to be the aberration, right? Because right now your community is defined ideologically and someone can't try to break out of it. Right? So that's what the Chaim Bad notes. And he says, Ichid achen jikom oreho ra yivchar lo mechaber atov beinav yisok alach alamasek asher yale bilibo. How could anybody just pick the book he likes the most? Chalil anu, v'kama halachos yin macholiz ben chom bein abokim rozer chazal tanya rash biomer v'chulei. Everything is machokes v'hine neinu roz kibin osei achaz v'mativ v'zehoser v'zemekel v'zemachmir v'lo niten rishuz l'mor l'vsok alach asher yitiv beinav ki anachim v'choyvam v'lechav darchei haklalim ha'mikubol v'chol kila kila. You have to follow the rules. And we know that everybody just accepted Shulchan Aruch, Sfarad and Baskin, like Shulchan Aruch, Ashkenaz and Baskin, like the Ramah. I don't care what anybody else says. Right? So here, right, in one tshuva, you see, on the one hand, he totally frees, well, not totally, but partially frees you from the notion of local rabbinate. But on the other hand, he, because of his expansive notion of this ideological Mardasra, right, we who identify with Svardim, right, we're now bound by the Beis Yosef, and that's all there is to it, right? So, right, you have to be careful, right, the notion of freeing up, right, who you can pick as your posek based on saying that it's not limited to place, is not exactly, or not always, going to actually mean that it increases your ability to choose. Now we'll just read a few of these, and you'll see right how this played out in Psak. Right, v'dash ikibaltim ziknei Torah. This is from the Sefer Shem Gedolim. V'dash ikibaltim ziknei Torah. Shishamu mipe kadosh harav hagadol ir v'kadish marach abu lafia zal shikib kabbalah biyado shal klal. Maran bipsak halacha lech achrei shlosha mude beisrael rifa ram varash viskim al zeh karav masayim rabbanim bidoro. He said this was a decision by the Beis Yosef to follow the majority of the rifa ram and rash. 200 rabbis in his generation decided, and that's what made him binding. That decision, right, to pick a right non-local symbolic well not here not one posik but methodology which would then became embodied in the psak of the Beis Yosef. V'kach margala b'fume nerav niskar kol sheyasek psak maran ineinu kosam matayim rabbanim, and that's why he used to say anyone who follows the Beis Yosef is following these 200 rabbis. The Urim Betumim, which is maybe I'm saying I'm aipshit, says v'frat din shenis karvish v'chon aroch v'mechaber v'rama ishmidu das acholik. The fact that the Mechaber and the Ramah leave out a certain position which argues on what they said, Kalabala biyadi, I have the Mesorah, v'gamra isi, mi dayanin mumchen, and I've seen that this is the minhag of the dayanin, v'chein danani, and this is how I paskin, v'ubab mi bli liton kimle, and I don't allow anyone to say kimle. What's kimle? Or kimli?
I accepted.
So kimli is a methodology where you say, I paskin, the Bezdin says, I paskin like the Ktos, and you say that's very nice, but I pass them like the Nesivos, and therefore you can't prove that I owe the person money because I'm Motzim Mechaber of a Raya and I have a justification why I'm not Chayev. Right? So he said, we don't allow you to Taina Kimli against Shulchan Aruch Ramah, because that is the Psak. What?
When does Beit Din Paskin like the Ktos?
I don't know. Ask Rav Beck. He's a Dayan. I don't know. Yes, he sits on the best of a lunch trip. Right? Is that right? Oh, okay. Rav Perel, Rav Michi. Anyways. Now he doesn't. Whatever, last year. I don't know. What? Dre. Rav Dre.
I presume when the Rav says you can choose someone to bind yourself to, he's saying, even though that's going to go against your community. Because
well, not necessarily, because he's talking about people choosing the Rambam, right?
He's saying people or a person?
People. The Rajba is. The Rajba is. Uh-huh. Okay? Like, we haven't quite gotten to modern times, right? We've gone to the notion that Murad Asra is not necessarily your local rabbi. We haven't yet gotten, right, so far, the Rajba, and I should have clarified that, right, the Rajba, the Chayim Bad, all these Chuvos and whatever, codes about the Shulchan Aruch Ramah, all think that, right, are all talking about more general acceptance. We'll get to that in a minute. Yeah.
But then what you have is, it's not saying they're overruling their Marad Asra. It's if a whole town decides to fall down, he is their Marad Asra.
Well, but he's not, right? Meaning he's not local, right? The fact that people call themselves Sfaradim when they're passing the Rambam who was in Egypt, right, it already shifts it. We haven't quite gotten to, you're right, we haven't quite gotten there yet, right? Yes. Yannick.
Why is the fact that they accepted the Ramar Shulchan Aruch on themselves now binding on me?
Good question. And we spoke about this last year, right? That it's difficult, right? On two senses, right? If you happen to live in the same place, then Minhag HaMakom may bind you, right? If once you move, right, it's difficult.
And then they become the Mar De'atra, except he still doesn't necessarily be my Mar De'atra.
Yes. Yes. We talked about the problems last year, that the notion this continues to apply in Eretz Yisrael or America is very difficult, right?
Right, but even according to the reasoning that, like, oh, so, starting, like, originally, like, we can choose the Shulchan Aruch as our Mara De'adra, but now that we've chosen him, like, now you can no longer possibly like anyone else.
Correct, then I pointed out, right, meaning, on the one hand, right, he expanded the notion of Mara De'adra, but on the other hand, it inhibits how they paskin, right, because right, they've actually accepted themselves, right, a Marad Asra on them in a sort of, in an interesting sort of sense, that actually limits their ability now. So they've accepted it so much that they're constrained by a non-living, you know, sort of authoritative text or authorities.
But the fact that they could choose him in the first place means that I don't have to choose him.
Correct. But once I did, that's what I'm saying, it cuts both ways, right? Meaning, it expands who I could choose, right? It opens up the possibility of choosing somebody else, but right, it could be that if enough people choose that person, right, Dafka, because when we talk about, you know, sort of this theoretical acceptance of the Beis Yosef, right, where you're not actually in one place, right, you're not actually, it's not like the Beis Yosef is your shore rabbi, the fact you accept him, yeah, meaning you didn't have to, but now everyone did, right, so you may be bound by other things, by Minhag HaMakom, or whatever the case may be, correct, okay? we spoke about this a lot last year. And it's not that pashut that this works at all, right, it definitely Bizman Hazeh. Fine. Right, so he says, right, that we only go by Shulchan Aruch and Rama, right, that combination. Kedatacholik came and shared Rabbi Yosef, Rama, Shmo Zechrono, Achre Adele, Samu Zechrono, Achre Adele, and Lachush Lo, Vikima, Vikiblu, Chachme Ador, Lishmor Velasakol, Omer, Mimatea, Katsar Shulchan Aruch Rama, we've accepted, all of Klal Yisrael, accepted, Joseph Alach Shulchan Aruch Rama, Ladaiti, Ain Safi, Kia, Kolbich, Sab, Yana Shemiskil, Yadam Kikuji, Ravas, Yajualem, Achronim, Tertsu, Virch, Harif, Vamok, and it's from God, because no matter how hard the Achronim try, they can never disprove them. Great. An example from a Rav Avadia that I could have opened up any tshuva in all of Rav Avadia, and this would have been, I could have found something. Right? But he was asked a question. Ger tzedek shenis gair Eretz Yisrael kadas. Right? A ger who converts in Eretz Yisrael, u motz o merzot Ashkenaz, becomes from an Ashkenazi land. Right? He's a Russian convert in Eretz Yisrael. Hayim yuchalid nahig bechos pesach uvi yetzer alochun v'nagasfar. Adim veidun amizrach shekibul olem harat maran ha-shulchan aruch. Right? This is a purer case. Right? Now someone is a convert, and he's in Eretz Yisrael. Can he free himself from quote-unquote Ashkenaz and become Sephardi? Right? Oh, lovelin hokin min hag yotze Ashkenaz yotzim biad Ramah. Or can he follow the Ashkenaz? Does he have to follow the Ashkenazim who follow the Ramah? Yes, I know the pun. I got it. Anachnu yotzim biad Ramah. It's not his. Right? It comes from many, many, many earlier Achronim. And he says, Me'ata, there should be probably an ellipsis there, I think. I definitely only put part of the tshuva. Me'ata, holu marana shulchan aruch, hu mara da'aret Yisrael. Da'aret Yisrael. The Shulchan Aruch is the Mar de Asra of Israel. Okay. The Asrei de Marhu. I remember once when we had Shir Kleli in some Zerayim topic, and Rav Gigi, which you don't normally see this side of Rav Gigi, mentioned that the Gra was Cholik on the Shulchan Aruch, and then he started yelling. It's like, V'lo yaloch shuk lachlok al marad na bit yoshin shu marad eret Yisrael. And I was like, okay, whoa. It's like, I've heard you be Cholik on the Shulchan Aruch, and that's much more questionable because you identify as Sephardi. But okay, it was quite fun. He went on for like 5 minutes. It was very impressive. The call Toshvei Eretz Yisrael v'Siozeh Kiblu Horazav Cholasher Yomar Kiuzeh. Everyone Paskins like him. That's it. Bein Laga Bein Lachmir Al Piv Yitzehu Al Piv Yavo. V'Viach Nirasher Gertzeh Nizgar Eretz Yisrael V'Ariyu Kikadon Shnoled Ba V'Alav Linhok V'Chol Yivachad Avdas Moran Hashul Chorarach Bein Laga Bein Lachmir. He has no choice. Follow Shulchan Aruch. He's from Ashkenaz. Okay, whatever. He doesn't have to follow the Ramah at all. Great. Okay, and if you look, next one, this is Rosh Sternbach, Mo'adim Uzmanim, Yozer Lo B'Shulchan Aruch, okay, Mefurash Mahani, Kedev B'Shila Miktas V'Nishar, Zalkev Lo B'Milvek, I won't get into the details of this case. Right, and he just points out, which we mentioned last year also, that even if you had found Nuk Tav 8 of Rishonim, it wouldn't help you because they're not accepting Shulchan Aruch, they don't count. Okay, we won't get into this, we dealt with it last year, the question of manuscripts. Fine. Okay. So, the Gemara, Mar de Asra, is your local rabbi. Okay? Then the Rashba extends it and says that people, as groups, as places, have a right to pick a Mar de Asra, you know, a Rambam, a Rif, a Shulchan Aruch, a Rama. As groups, they have the ability to pick a posek, even if he's not alive, not literally your local rabbi. Okay? So we start to see the expansion in the direction of claiming that Mar de Asra is not about simply where you are. But again, here you see the constraints, because part of it is still geographic, right? It's the Mar de Asra they're picking is not geographic, right? But they feel constrained geographically, right? We live in Ashkenaz, right? We live in Svard. We are of the Edut HaMizrach, right? We, everyone living in these places has accepted Shulchan Aruch, Ramah, right? So, the geographic element is still in play. Makes sense. We're still talking in an era where that made more sense. I mean, not so much for Bavadia, but right until very recently, that made a lot of sense. But what happened right now? Right, because now the world is not like this at all. Right, even you want to say that, okay, fine. Then they accepted the Beis Yosef. Everyone who Pachod Yoter lived in what we called Svarad, or they do to Mizrach, fine. But nowadays, right, every community has Ashkenazim and Svaradim and Chasidim and Litvaks and Eidut HaMizrach, and everything, right? Every type of Jew lives in every type of community, right? Like we mentioned last year, right? You go to the shul in Alon Shvut, and the minhag of the Nusach is whatever the chazan happens to do. We have the sign in the new shul, right? Slips back and forth. Ashkenaz Sfarad. We do one thing for Shacharis, one thing for Musaf, right? Another thing for Mincha. Great. And communication is really easy. So what do we do now? Now, this is sort of, well, modern phenomenon. It's really hard to tell. But the seeming conclusion, one should say, is, and here, this is summarized by Rabbi Helfgott in an article that he has about minority opinions and the role in Hara, and a discussion about Mar de Asra in the middle of it. And now, he isn't the first person to say it. I put him for... First of all, he gets it very succinctly, also because I can copy and paste from that PDF. But Rav Aaron says the same thing, which I can't copy from the PDF because I don't have the PDF. But I'll get to Rav Aaron in a moment. Right? But he summarizes and he says, the ruling of Rashba moves the concept beyond the limitations of specific time and place and makes the ideological and halachic affiliation with a particular authority's ruling at the center of the mandate. One can plausibly extend this concept beyond the boundaries of any reference to geographic area as well. Once one claims that the concept of following the view of an individual scholar extends beyond his death or his actual place of domicile, the road is clear to an expansive reading of this notion. Thus, a Belzer Chazid who lives in Cape Town, South Africa, or a transplanted Washington Heights Yekka, who is a member of Tilad Adat Yishurun, and now lives in San Jose, could continue to follow the practice and psakim that they felt loyal to in their day-to-day life. Right? That is the logical conclusion. What?
Breyers?
Yes, Breyers. Tilad Adat Yishurun is Breyers, correct. Right? Now, Rav Aharon says this very, very forcefully. Now, and Rav Aharon here really extends it more than this. I don't have the PDF. But you can look at it. If you look in Leaves of Faith, Volume 2, right, in the chapter called Legitimization of Modernity and Classical and Contemporary, so Rav Aharon there says, basic argument is that the modern Orthodox community, any community that claims fidelity to Torah, cannot be considered legitimate if they don't have a gadol. Right? Plain and simple. Right? We want to talk about, right, we believe more autonomy. That's all nice and good. You don't have a gadol to back you up. What you say means nothing. Right? Ravaran is very, very forceful about this. Right? And he says, so what gives us legitimacy? Right? You can see this coming. Take a guess. I'll give you what? What? The Rav, thank you. Right? Right. What gives modernity, right, modern Orthodoxy legitimacy? The Rav. Right? And there he makes the claim very strongly based, right, this is basically his argument, that based on the Rajba, right, we can extend the notion of Marad Asra. It's not primarily about, or not exclusively about local authority. It can be about identification. It can be about ideological identification. I'll read you what he says. He says, the definition of the relevant community, however, is murky. The Gemara speaks of locale. But it seems strange that geography should be the sole determinant. Would an enclave of Judean, this is on page 289, of Judean emigres in Galilee be permitted to eat chicken fried in butter? Right? Right? This would be the logic, right? The inverse, right? If you thought that you were bound by your locale, right? In the place of Yossi Aglili, you could still eat chicken and milk. Right? Obviously, we don't say that, right? The fact that he was once there, they don't help you, right? Would only residents of 12th century Egypt be entitled to rely upon the Rambam's minority kulub? It seems far more likely that other factors, ethnic identity, or above all, spiritual and ideological fealty, should carry no less weight. I believe this is clearly suggested by the Rajba. And then he quotes the Rajba. Right? Physical proximity is obviously not intended here. What is envisioned is evidently a principled and consistent attachment. Its basis is left open. The places cited could have come to be accustomed to doing all their actions in accordance with the dicta of the Rif or the Rambam as a result either of accident or choice. The point is, however, that spiritual commitment rather than geographic contiguity is the determining factor. A Sephardi congregation in Warsaw could still be bound by the rulings of the Rishon Litzion. Would a Ger Chassid cease to be part of the Beit Yisrael community just because he'd moved to Paris? And now he says, and the implications for a contemporary Orthodox Jew's legitimization of his response to modernity are self-evident. Were there no genuine Gadol who had subscribed to the core halachic positions of what is roughly denominated as modern Orthodoxy, ordinary rabbis and laymen would be hard put to cling to them. In the absence of an imprimatur from any Gadol whatsoever, it would be difficult, if not impossible, to justify the adoption of norms and values in defiance of a wall-to-wall phalanx of Gedolei Yisrael. Such action would simply be regarded as error, whether b'dvar mishnah or b'shikol hadat. Once contemporary authority, no doubt, based itself largely and perhaps selectively upon classical predecessors. But the ordinary person must base himself upon a shofet shebiyamecha. Even if we assume that on the personal level, a moderate lamdan may and perhaps must act in accordance with his own informed and conscientious reading of the sources, a dubious proposition in his own right, surely no such course would be championed in the public sphere. Right? And then he goes on and has this, you know, beautiful, you know, to the Rav, right? Even Israelis who do not perceive that his spiritual stature towers majestically over that of their Rashi Yeshiva, even Americans who are blind to the fact that he bestrides their current Moetzet Gedolei HaTorah like a colossus, Eilu ve'Eilu know that he is of the very first rank, fully entitled to develop independent positions on all matters of Shikol HaDat. Okay. It's very nice. You should read the rest of this piece. It's wonderful. Right? If you want to feel very confident in being modern Orthodox, it's just a wonderful piece. Okay? But the Rav, Rav Aharon makes the argument, right, that we should take the Rajba to its next to its logical conclusion and say that especially Bizman Hazeh, in the globalized world, Marad Asra is who you identify with, leading to people posking like the Rebbeim from Yeshiva or the Rosh Yeshiva or whatever, right? The Rebbeim that they identify with. Yeah.
This is the word vidya then?
No.
I mean, once community has been mixed, then there's no longer a concept of, ideology.
So I don't know whether this word vidya lechatchila in that sense, like, should I assume lechatchila, right? Meaning, what stopped? Meaning, why did the communities in the 15th century decide they were going to follow the Beis Yosef? Because they happened to live there? No, they identified with the Beis Yosef, right? They decided, right? Yes, they decided as a
Jew. Was a proper decision.
Why not?
Because they had their local authorities do all of them accepted until
okay.
The Beis Yosef was written.
Okay. And they decided to accept a non-local authority. They decided to make an ideological decision, right? To pick a rabbi who had died, right? And lived in Svat, right? I mean, that's what they did, right? I think, and the Rambam and the Rif, right? I mean, what did people do? The fact that then, yes, they decided as a group in a locale, right? It doesn't sound like it's b'dieved, it just sounds like that was the way it happened, right? Because they were, at some level, constrained by locale, but now we're not. We're really not in the same way. I think it's l'chatchila, but even if it's b'dieved, this is the world we live in, right? So l'maisa, right, this is where we are, we're not going back, right? So, yes.
If I ideologically, identify with the Rav, then even though I'm Sephardi, I mean, where does Minhag fit into this?
We'll come back to Minhag. We will come back to Minhag later in the year. We dealt with Minhag a little bit last year, we will come back to Minhag, right? And Minhag is complicated for part of this reason, because right, the notion of Minhag Avos is a very complicated notion halachically, because classic Minhag was also Minhag Hamako, right? Minhag Avos is very, very questionable, right, of where it comes from. Don't worry, we will return to it, right? Okay, fine. Now this does have limitations. If you look, for example, in the next tshuva, this is the Mari Ben Leiv. Right, so the Mari Ben Leiv says, Amnam. Okay, this is again the local question. This is what we do. Because of our Rashba, three lines in, B'tshuva, Shela, Sim, and Reish, Nun, Gimel, Shim, Yesh, Minag, B'ir, L'Sukha, B'ir, Rambam, Yasuk, Minhagam, D'nar, Naro, Pasha, B'ir, R'ay, L'Dvarv, Machlok, Zer, Yitzral, U'bavel, B'tar, B'd, Yisrael, M'komun, Shul, Lazar, Yukarsan, Eitem, etc., etc., etc. Right, we've seen this. He said, right, this is how the Rashba sets it up. Find ulacha ora, two lines from the bottom. Hayanira mitocha tshuva azot shecholim neir l'taken takana v'askama l'sog al pi posik echad bein bedini mamas bein bedini eser v'amuter. You would have thought, based on the Rashba, that you could pick whoever you want. V'achara yun v'achakira hashivoti l'ksadan Hashem asher shalu et pi dafka bedini mamanos yet yecholit biadam l'taken takana azot ava bedini eser v'amuter v'agitin v'kidushin lako kaminayu divinayir l'taken takana v'zot b'shel toro l'chach hamachmer basar ruba l'kula imeim dolin b'chachma minyan t'dafka b'yameyem shvechol ir v'ir hayolahem rav echad shahayim ayimelam dam gidan rinan Baba v'chol parva nagol kirav narda v'chol parva nag kishmuel v'chol ir v'yaram v'chavim v'chvod milamdam aval anu bizmanim ma'ilu kol ha'poskim rabbanim asher meimeim anu shosim heim rabboseinu v'anu mechuyavim b'shol torah l'echad achamer ha'machmer v'yesh b'yadi kamarayat alzo. So he challenges the Rashba, or at least the application of the Rashba. He says as follows, that's very nice in the time of Chazal, because there was only one person, each place had a local authority. The problem with the ideological notion of Bar Dasra is you pick him. And when you pick who you identify with, right, it's very easy to say that there's one local shul rabbi. It's much harder to say you pick one person to identify with. Right? Most people don't. I assume most people here have more than one poseg, more than one rav they identify with in some way or shape or form. Yes? No? Mm-hmm. Probably. Right? But what does that mean? Right? On the one hand, it opens up your autonomy, it opens up your decision, right? You're picking your posik ideologically, right? You may not be poskining quite yet, but you are shaping your worldview by choosing your posik. But when you choose, what's the problem? Who's really making the decision? At some level?
You.
You are. And what's the halacha when you're making the decision? You're not the posik. Right? So he notes that it's a double-edged sword. Right? If you want to accept this, you can only accept, he suggests, and this is not obvious, that you can only accept it so far. If I'm accepting it ideologically, so it's one thing if I accept one posik, right? But the next step is not just to accept one posik, but there are multiple people identify with in different areas. That's great. And maybe that's even legitimate. But the second you start saying that Muradhasra is not just ideologically chosen, but multiple people can be picked ideologically, and you put the ball back in your court, it creates a problem, because then we have to go back to normal rules of psak, because when there's one posik, that's very good. Then you're allowed to follow him bein l'kula bein l'chumra. When there are multiple posikim, not so obvious. Right? So that is critique. And just to give you an idea, right, it continues to play out, right? The Rama. Also, you can't paskin in front of your Rebbe. And it's not enough to get it from one Rebbe, you have to get it from all your Rebbeim. That's the Shulchan Aruch. The Rama says, in this case, we're not talking about your normal Rebbe Mufak, we're talking about, namely, Sharov Chach Maso Mimanu, Dimkein Lo Efshir Lios Lo Harbe Rovos and Mufakim, because if it's Rov, it can't be more than one. And the rest of the Talmud Gomor. Are we talking about the people to whom you are a Talmud Gomor, Lafuki Talmud Chaver, as opposed to someone who you are a Talmud and a colleague of, okay? The Shach comments, Ulini Mashikot of Arab, Dimkein Lo Efshir Lios Harbe Rovos and Mufakim, ain't no clum, that's wrong. Right? Because you can. Right, you can have it at the end of Meila Metzios that it says that Rov Chachmaso Mikra Mikra Mishnah Mishnah Vim Shas Shas Chen Gazav Vim Ken Yishlomar Shalomar Itzal Zer Rov Chachmaso Mikra Vitzal Zer Rov Chachmaso Mishnah Vitzal Rov Chachmaso Vishas Vitzal Zer Chachmaso Midrash Vagazav Itzal Zer Chachmaso Vikabbalah Vachayot Vishar Chachmaso Torah. He said, no, it's totally possible to have multiple Ravim Muvhakim, each of them your primary Rav in a certain area. Right, so the Ramah, right, at some level, channels this problem of the Mari Ben Leiv, which is, once you start saying that your Rebbeim, or who you identify with, or who you pick to be your Rebbe in a certain area, then the notion of Rav Mufak, with its kulas and its chumras, right, changes. Right, because now you're picking your Rav. Right, so on the one hand, you have responsibility to more Rebbeim, because each of them is your posik in a certain area, but, right, none of them is really your Rav Muvak in quite the same way, right? Maybe that means you don't have the right to just paskin like him. The Shach says, no, that's not true. Because I can say legitimately that, yes, I have multiple influences in my life, but it's not like in Hilchos Nida, I have three Rebbeim that I go to as my Rebbeim Muvakim, right? I have one posik who taught me Nida, and one who taught me Shabbos, and one who taught me Kashrus, and one who taught me Hashkafa, and one who taught me, you know, how to act at work, and whatever. Right, and I can legitimately say that in this area of my life, I really do have one guiding force. Right, so what this little deal, and without again getting all the details that I'm on the Shach here, right, points out is that look, right, let's just start again from the logical progression we started off. Right, the Gemara starts with who's a Muradhasra, right? Who do you have the right to follow Ben Lakula Ben Lachoma? Your local rabbi. The Rajba already extends this and says when you're choosing that posek, it doesn't have to be your local rabbi. It could be someone who's dead and lives somewhere else. You're allowed to make that ideological decision, though he's still talking about groups of people living in one place making that decision. He's just begun, right, expanding it. But the logical expansion, Bismana says, to go even beyond that. So then, no, right, we're in a totally globalized world, and the way we actually do things is we individually identify with the community, right? It's not that I live in this area, and therefore we have chosen this ideological posik. No, I identify with this community, right? Quote, unquote, right? Not my physical proximity community, but my community, the people I identify with, and we identify with this posik, right? And that's legitimate. It gives me, and it really, while the notion of Muradhasra in a certain sense inhibits your ability to make halachic decisions, it frees you up and allows you to follow your posik, but doesn't allow you to choose what you're following. The notion of saying that Muradhasra is ideological really does open it, right? I am responsible to have somebody who is my authority in life, but I can choose who that way that is, which means de facto I'm choosing my psak. The problem is, as Mari Ben Leiv notes, right, you have to wonder, is that once you're doing that, am I becoming too much of my own posig? Right? So, Mari Ben Leiv pushes back and says, no, once you're picking multiple people, right, you can no longer use the protection of Muradhasra, because you're making the decision, right? You're relying on other authorities, but you're making the decision, you don't have that right. Right? And but what the Shach notes is there's a way of getting around that, which is to say that I may be able to choose people, but I can still legitimately say I'm relying on people if, right? I sort of delineate areas that I rely on people for, right? I can't kula hop. I can't say, right, for this shayla I paskin like this person, and he's my Rebbe here. And for this shayla I paskin like this Rebbe, and he's my Rebbe moving. That doesn't work. But I can legitimately say that, look, for certain types of questions in general, I paskin like this person. He's my authority, and for certain types of questions, I follow this person. Right? Because, right, that is legitimate. I can legitimately say that, look, right, Rav Lichtenstein is my Rebbe in Lumdus, right? You know, he is probably the person I learned most significantly in Lumdus from, and Rabbi Willig is probably the person who I learned most in Psak from, right? Because Rav Aaron didn't really teach Psak and Shir, and Rabbi Willig was the first person who I really, for a system, you know, systematic period of time, for a whole year, I sat and I learned, right, how Psak works. I legitimately refer to both of them as my Rebbeim Muvhakim in different areas, right? And I think that's legitimate. That's what the Shach is saying, right? That's more complicated, obviously, but I'm just giving an idea, right? And right, what we saw already last week when just doing the theoretical, I say the Harav is, again, the more autonomy, the more rights you have in picking your poskim, the more constraints there are going to be, because the more you have to be honest that you're not just doing whatever you want, right? Yes, I can choose poskim. I can even choose multiple poskim, but that makes it even more important that I realize that I'm not, right? I'm not kula hopping. Okay. But there is yet another corrective to this picture, right? Right, until now, we've expanded your right to who to pick and talked about a little of the problems that are raised in that. So here, first I'll raise a very non-controversial one, okay? Which I think is an obvious limitation. Then I'll get to a more controversial limitation in a moment. Skip down to Rabbi Helfgott's footnote. I think this is obvious. And he says, it would seem, however, that public manifestation of a practice that falls in the face of an accepted custom of a specific town, in our contemporary context, synagogue would not be sanctioned. Such actions would contradict the principles outlined in the fourth chapter of Psachim. They require one who moves to a new locale to accept the public practices of the community that one is now residing in, especially when public actions to the contrary would cause discords and strife. So I think the first limitation on this is very simple. This is all very nice, that you're allowed to pick your own post. You're even allowed to pick multiple postkim, assuming you have some intellectual integrity. But actions that are defined by locale, right? As much as we can talk about our ideological community, right? Sunset hits Friday night. Your phone is off, your computer is off, your community is whatever shul you happen to be in, right? Don't tell me that I like this, you know, minhag in shul that they do in Israel when I'm in New York, even though the rabbi of the shul hates it, that's not going to fly, right? Certain things are locale-based. I think we can all agree on this. Yes, right? It would be very problematic if someone just said, look, now we identify our communities ideologically, so shul should just be total chaos. Right? I understand. Here we do Ashkenaz. I understand we switch Nusach, but still, right? We don't do everything. What?
Nusach has to be the condition.
Yes, it is. We have some things that, right? But that's the decision they made. But if, let's say they made the decision like most rules do, that it's always going to be Nusach X or Y, you don't switch it just because you happen to be, right? This is always a problem, right? If you are, in fact, right, davening for the Amud in Yeshua, which always daven Nusach Ashkenaz, I don't care if you already do the Mizrach, right, halachically, you have to daven Ashkenaz. And it annoys me when people don't do that, because this is obviously true halachically. Okay? That's not so controversial, I think. Though, some people would think that, because people really don't listen to this and drives me crazy. Right? But it's confusing, you know that, right? If you're in a shul where, in fact, they always daven one nusach, and somebody comes and does something else, it's really bothersome. Right? It really does throw people off. Okay? That I don't think is so controversial.
Does that extend to community decisions? Community makes a decision on something. Are you then bound by that decision?
I'm leaving it the totally non-controversial. I don't know, right? I mean, I think at some extent, no. Like what, for a local decision, like what's done in the shul, I think so, yeah. I think you don't have the right to go against the shul, right? If the community decide, the shul happened, you know, you don't really identify with your shul. You know, let's bring a, I don't know, very simple case, right? You are, you know, this happens all the time, right? Somebody is getting a PhD, so he's off in the middle of nowhere, right, in some community. He's not really part of that community. He's there for 5 years, 7 years. He's really there for longer, but he totally is not part of that community. He's there, you know, in college and in, you know, whatever, right? I don't know if people pick their psak, but let's say, you know, PhD just because he's a little bit older, right? I don't think that person is bound by the community's decisions, right? I think in the shul he is, right? But I don't think, like, fundamentally he is, but yesh logic, okay? There is another problem, though. Yeah.
So is there anything stopping me from picking, you know, I guess, as I love the way the Miri writes, like, everything Miri writes is the MS. Can I possibly have your opinion?
I don't think so. I would think, and this is my intuition, that, right, to make a decision about, to follow a non-live rabbi authority, right, you probably have to be an authority yourself, right? Meaning, to pick somebody who is bashetach, an authority, right, you have the right to pick whoever you want, right? To go and pick, you know, somebody no one else picks, someone that no one else picks, right? It's not that, it's not, you know, like, fair game to possibly anybody, right? You couldn't go and pick Beis Shammai, right? Not the Meiri's Beis Shammai, but I'm saying, right? You couldn't do that, right? There has to be some limit, right? Is it because, right, you're not opposing? Is it because, you know, the, right, at some level, even the local communities have to accept, right, the history of the Jewish people, right? We can talk about it, right? And we'll get back to Minhag, which is probably more, right, relevant. But there's going to have to be some limitations. Okay. Another problem, though, is that once you say, right, that we identify ourselves ideologically, so then one of the claims that you hear often in defense of certain practices falls away. And often you hear people across the spectrum saying, look, what is everybody criticizing me for doing this, for following this position in my community? Why don't you give authority to the local rabbinate? Right, I'm not Meshuvah to the Rashi Yeshivos. I'm not Meshuvah to the Golei Ador, right? Isn't it always Mara da Asra? Right? So, okay, you don't want to accept whatever, right? The specific context I'll talk about in a second, right? If you remember the Chilin controversy, right? Right? Of last year. Right? Which was a little bit crazy, right? It got a little bit out of hand. Right? But everyone was like, right? Part of the Diyun was everyone saying, how could he do that if, you know, the Rama says no, and all the Gedolim say you can't do it. And he said, well, it's my school, right? I'm putting words in his mouth. Right, it's my school, I can make the decisions, right? What does it bother everybody else? Right? I'm caricaturing it here, but yes, we've heard these Dionim, mm-hmm. Right? So Rabbi Brody made a point that I think is true. I said it, but, you know, I can always quote somebody else, it's always better, right? And he notes, these arguments also raise the question of whether legal rulings, particularly those of great social sensitivity, can and should take into account individual situations which may or may not impact a given ruling. Rav Malamed and Rav Henkins discuss one potential situation, where a generally pious woman insists that this would be beneficial for religious growth and is willing to don tefillin in private. Other complex situations might include school or other educational environments, pluralistic institutions like Hillel houses, potential career opportunities or challenges, keeping someone from leaving orthodoxy, and a host of other questions. One could argue that all psak must remain local and individualized, thereby preventing a given individual's needs from being overlooked in the face of a larger legal and social battle, in which the individual may have no stake or interest. One might counter, however, that in our hyper-connected world, the notion of a fully individualized psak is not feasible, especially in sensitive areas of halacha. One must assume that any psak given to an individual will be possibly misinterpreted as a global statement or taken as a precedent for others. The bruah created in the current case points to the great difficulty of issuing individual rulings, particularly when children are born in a public context. Now, it's very nice for us to say that, well, we can pick our ideological commitments, and look, if we can pick our ideological mardasra, then why can't I just follow it? I'm just following my mardasra. You don't have to follow him. Just like in the time of the Gemara, Rabbi Yossi Aglili's constituents did what he paskin in the Galil. But the problem is, no, right? The same sociological insight that says, Bizman Hazeh, we're more likely to pick our poskim ideologically than locally, means that, tells us that what? It leads to the conclusion that pretty much any decision that's made is global, has global implications, right? So, right, we have to realize that the second we claim, oh, I have the right to make my decisions ideologically and pick my Mara d'Asra, right, I lose the defense that perhaps once the students of Yossi Aglili had in Galil, which is, well, what does my decision affect somebody else? That no longer is true. So while I think it's true that at a certain level we can pick our poskim, we can pick who we ideologically align with, right, the model isn't identical. And the fact is that we do have to realize that we are putting constraints on ourselves, because by picking poskim ideologically, recognizing that we live in a global world, we also recognize that the notion of a purely local decision has kimat evaporated. So is something de facto is going to create a problem in the community, because, right, ideological people who belong to different ideological communities will live in the same physical community, which did not necessarily happen in the time of Rosh Yehuda Galili, right? We may not be allowed to always paskin like our theoretical ideological posek. Right? That's something I think you just have to keep in mind, right? That there are certain benefits and certain new opportunities that free us up in a globalized world, but it also means we have a different type of responsibility to the rest of the world, which may constrain us. Okay? How much time do we have? We're limited on time, like 5 minutes, right? What? 7 minutes. Okay. So let's quickly do here the Shud Marash Dam. Here he would just ask, okay, I'm not going to read the whole thing here, but if you look through the posek, right, look through him here, right, he was asked basically whether simply the fact that someone, that you accept somebody as your posek, right, does that automatically, is that automatically enough to make him your Marda Asra, that you can follow him in everything? And he says, well, no, right, the obvious is that even if you pick somebody, right, he has to be
legitimate,
thank you, right? I won't get into the complexity of Maharaj Dam's argument, but that's another thing to keep in mind. Right? Just because we said you can pick your posek doesn't mean that you are now free to pick whoever you want. Right? How you choose who is a legitimate posek, more complicated story. But, obviously, right, the fact that you're free to pick doesn't mean you can pick anybody. Okay. I want to make two more points and then quickly summarize, and if we have to, we'll continue on some of these issues next week, we'll see. Okay. Two more points. One is that as nice as it is to say that Bizman has said we can pick poskim ideologically and we can pick who we want and we can pick a posek 6,000 miles away, lo lishkoach that there is a benefit to having a posek bashetach who you can talk to, right? And I mean that both pastorally and halachically. If you look, for example, in the next source, this is from Rav Henkin Senior, not current, not Bnei Banim, but Rav Henkin, who was the posek in America before Moshe Feinstein. Yeah. So, he was asked, right, he's talking about the mitzvah of setting up local rabbin. And he says, mitzvah, I'll say, Almino yishoftim nagid gam b'chutz laretz, v'yach bizman hazev afil v'makam shish tamid yichamim, ein l'hakal niftar milim not miyuchad l'kach. Milim l'kach. Right, even where there are tamid yicham around, you have to have a rav. Ubo unitzaveach al harbei, let me yell about all these communities in America. They have a lot of people who keep the Torah. They don't appoint Rabbanim in poskim. And what do they justify themselves? And they say, what do they say? What do they say? There's no rabbi good enough, all these people who speak English, right? We say, it doesn't matter, you have to get a rabbi. And if you can't afford it, so get the community together, right? And then that rabbi can paskin and, you know, impose things if he needs to. And him being bashetach means people won't be able to hide from him, right? This is particularly a court case, right? They won't be able to run away from the bezdin. But if there's nobody in charge, then, right, there's going to be a problem. There'll be different halachos. And even if we don't have force, but if everyone agrees locally, right, that gives him power. Etc. We'll skip to next paragraph or two. Below Yafa Osim Elo Aponim Shelo they telephone, and it's not good that these people, in replacement of having local rabbis, they just pick up a phone and call somebody. Malim Imet Shemam Mekomam, because that allows for anonymity. Right? They call. They don't say who they are. B'chdei Leftorat Mam Lisa Bal Rabbanu, because they don't want a rabbi, and they know that they just call and ask a shayla. Right? Okay, so I'll get a halachic answer, but I won't actually have to have a posek. Sharach Lisa Shafenu Rafanim Fanim, who will hold you accountable. Right? When you meet. Kisholam is a Rav Panim Fanim, Az Yesh Lo Zman La Yim Sefer Limalech, because when you meet someone in person, he has the time to look into it. And if, right, it continues, and if he changes his mind, he knows where to find you. And he has time to think about it, which you don't if you're on the phone. And therefore, he says, it's not good even to say, look, I want to get these great poskim in Europe. I don't want these young rabbis in America. That's not good. I mean, what does he highlight? Right, that im kol zeh, right, there's still a benefit to having poskim bashetach. Right? Certain things only work through communal pressure, right? Or through a personal relationship, right? A posek has the ability to, you know, ensure that people are doing the right thing, bashetach, if he lives there, right? If you know who your posek is, then, right, if he changes his mind, he can call you back. He has a better opportunity to understand what you're asking and to answer properly, right? So he notes that, right, even if we're talking this, we should remember there is a benefit, first of all, having a local rabbi, but even not a local rabbi, at least a rabbi who you know, right? Not just saying, well, if I can pick anybody, I can pick anybody, right? No, there's still at least a benefit to having a, just one second, to having a consistent rabbi, okay? One more point from Gil Student, and I suggest you read the piece. He notes that, right, one of the critiques you often hear is that this notion of, you know, seeking an ideological posek has led to people often idealizing the Rosh Yeshiva over the shul rabbi. Right, which has affected psak, because shul rabbis traditionally had the benefit of living bashetach, of living with the balabatim and not living in a cloistered world. Right, so he actually argues that all of this is fine and good. Right, but we have to remember that we paid a big cost for this, because now when people are looking for the ideological posek, usually it's not their shul rabbi, which means it's usually not people who are quite that equipped to deal with mitzvus bashetach. Right, so he actually argues that we should push back against this whole thing towards the authority of the local rabbinate, right, to move psak back to that mitzvus, right, that psak which is connected mitzvus bashetach, which is something that we've sort of lost by this move towards the ideological and often the psak of Rosh Yeshivos, which is at least something to keep in mind. Chaim.
So a person that we've
ignored is Hashofet Shar Shishat. No, we mentioned it. It's been quoted like 3-4 times in the Devar, written in Shuvos. Yeah. I mean, I read fast, but it's definitely in these Shuvos. So to quickly summarize, I know we have to go to Mincha, right? So, having a posek again, right, frees you up because it gives you a right to paskin like that. That person, even when he might be in the minority. Traditionally, though, that was picked by locale. You didn't have much choice. But already in the Rajba, you see that at least places were not bound by the strict local model, and it shows things ideologically, which gives us a lot of ability to make our decisions even when we're not actually poskin. But the other hand, we have to be honest about it, right? Even if we want to say, not only can you pick a posek, we can pick multiple poskim that can't then devolve into us picking every decision individually based on what we want, right? You have to be a little bit honest about it, right? As the Shach said, we could have different tchumim, where you ask different people, right? You can't just be arbitrary about it. However, there are limitations on this. First of all, at some level, right? So, right, the Mari Ben Leiv says the modern situation really prevents us being protected by Marad Asra, which I don't think is accepted, but it's something worth thinking about. The next problem is that, right, the same sociological thing that led to us being able to pick a posek anywhere in the world we identify with means that very few questions are actually local, which may mean that we are not quite as protected because we have to take into account the global implications. It can't just claim, oh, I'm poskening like my rabbi, because, you know, it does affect other people by Shadak, which it didn't once when Marad Asra was literally in the place. Certain shailas, ein ma la'asot, are local, like things in shul. As the Rashdam points out, when you do pick a posek, just because you have the right to pick a posek doesn't mean you can pick whoever you want. That person has to be legitimate, something which we'll talk about a little bit more later. And the last thing is that, and the last two things are, first of all, still it's important to have a personal relationship with the posek. And remember, there is a benefit to having a posek bashetach, because certain things like your posek being able to influence and, you know, hold you accountable are totally in him being there. Some of those can be solved with you having a relationship with the posek, some of them can't. And the last thing is that, remember that one of the costs, which you have to think about when you've picked a posek ideologically, is that often we tend to pick Rashi Yeshivos, who are not living bashetach, who are not living in the community, so, right, that may push us in the opposite direction and say that maybe we really do want to go back a little bit more of the model of the classic Marad Asra, the shul rabbis, because then psak, right, the talk that everyone has is the move towards Chumrah, because we're positing Rosh Yeshivas might be a little bit mitigated, but that's something we'll have to talk to Bem Sheikh. I just wanted to raise the issues now.